So if you go out and you set up a group of recips, and the breeder says, I had about, only saw half of them in heat. That's just right, right? We had 44% of these in heat. So that's about what we expect on a on an ovulation timed embryo transfer program, right? So just to show you a few numbers to hopefully convince you that it works. This is one farm, and I like this kind of stuff where we reduce some of the variability in the numbers, but it is 2 years data. This is all Angus embryos here. And fresh transfers, we ran 68%. Frozen transfers, we ran 60%. And that's on time transfer, one person transferring them, one location, 2 years data. Okay? And it's not to say that's what you ought to expect everywhere you go, but you can get along with time transfers. But here's the reality of it, some too. And this is the problem with looking a little bit at numbers and trying to make predictions. This also is a single farm's embryos, but this particular place uses contract recipient herds. So we had 9 contract recipient herds that year. We transferred about 1,600 embryos for him. And if you didn't see this part over here, you just looked at the 60%, then that'd be great. This is a little bit of an example of like taking that 100 and breaking them down into 10, except I'm breaking them down into bigger groups. This guy was really happy, and this guy's not so happy. And I've got a feeling that maybe the ends aren't quite big enough on this one, but there's a real difference in conception rates here. So you just have to realize that part of our job as a veterinarian is try to figure out what happened here and make this better, but realize that you're always going to have a distribution. It would be so nice if every donor gave 7 and every 100 recips, 60 of them got pregnant, but it just doesn't work that way. So what I tell clients, or what should you expect as a breeder? Frozen embryos. Frozen embryos ought to yield you about a 55 to 60% conception rate, given that you're putting in about half grade ones, half grade twos, because that does have an effect on your conception rate. With grade ones, I'm just going to call that the best. And your grade two embryos, you'll have about a 10 to 15 percentage point decrease. And then grade threes will be about 20 to 30% lower than grade ones. So basically, every time you drop a quality score, you normally should drop about 10 to 15 percentage points. And if you're putting in fresh embryos, you'll do about 7 to 10% better. And so part of having happy clients and part of being happy with your program is to have realistic expectations, right? And so that's what this is all about here. Realizing there again that you're going to have a range there. And we've certainly had groups of 100 that we did 80% on, but we've had groups of 100 we did 40% on too. So you have to look at both sides of it. So a little bit about sorted semen, and I'm not going to even talk about this because there's people in there that know how that works and I don't. But I just want to make a few comments about sorted semen and how we use it in embryo transfer programs. I guess Dr. Hall is going to talk about a lot more about sorted semen after me. But for us, it reduces our transferable embryos by 50%, which is not necessarily a bad thing because you're getting rid of the gender you don't want anyway. But you got to get used to the notion of getting half your transferable embryos. It's bull dependent, what I've seen anyway. Some bulls sort real well, and we really don't see that much of a drop in conception rate as far as transferable embryos. That's the good news. The bad news is for every one of those, I got a zero. And so that's kind of what we see. We see a lot more blanks. We see bulls that seem to sort okay. And then you have to have the stomach for the zeros. You have to have the stomach for that 50% reduction, but you also got to have that stomach for more blanks that day. And frankly, between those two things and the fact that we don't have a lot of the high-demand bulls available to us sorted, we really don't do a lot of sorted semen collections. But if you're going to use it, you'll get along better with virgins, and I think that's got to do probably with just the physical size of their uterus. Now, we split embryos on the farm. We've got a micromanipulator, and we can split embryos right there. And that'll help you recover some of your losses, or I shouldn't say losses, but decreased efficiency, so that you can take your grade one sorted semen collections and split those. And basically, you're taking one grade one and making two grade twos. So you'll end up with a few more transferable embryos that way, but you'll still have a little bit lower conception rate. But overall, you'll average a little better than one pregnancy per embryo too on those. And probably the biggest place that we use it or see it used with our practice is with IVF. And Dr. Seidel has already told you about IVF. They aspirate those transvaginally, mature and fertilize them, and then we transfer the embryos. And he's covered that in a lot better than I could. So why do we want to use IVF in an ET program? Well, one advantage is you can do it every other week. And you're going to see the same variability in IVF donors that you do with ET. So on a given single aspiration versus a single given collection, you'll actually probably get more embryos from a single conventional collection. But we got to wait about 30 days in between those. And so the ability of IVF, we can increase our numbers by doing it every other week, or as Dr. Seidel said, every week, or perhaps even more frequently. So you can get more embryos out of us over time, but if you're only looking at a single collection, it may or may not be an option for you. You can use sorted semen, and the beauty of that is they can go to the tank, get frozen semen out of a tank, and they can't do it to any old bull. And I've worked mostly with Transova, but they've got a pretty good data set realizing who they can't sort. But you can then make about 95% of the gender that you want, so there's a distinct advantage there, and that really drives the system, in my opinion. And if you've got a straw of $500 or $1,000 semen, you can use it on multiple donors. And there again, that's bull dependent. You might use it on three donors. You might do it on six donors. It just depends on the bull. And for us, and the way we use it in our practice is we use it mainly on problem donors. We're only an hour and a half away from a Transova's facility in Maryland. And so a lot of times we'll work donors up at home. They'll take them up, hop them off. They'll aspirate them and then send us embryos back. And then, of course, they bring their donor back with them. We get the embryos 8 days later. And that's really been a plus for us because I wouldn't have gotten embryos out of those problem donors anyway. And so at least that day I'll have fresh embryos to put in. So it's really been an addition to our practice and an addition for our clients too, not really a takeaway. And you can aspirate pregnant cows, which is sort of a novel thing, but particularly heifers. You know, we can collect them once or twice conventionally, breed them, and then still keep them in an IVF program and transfer embryos, depending on the heifer, up to 90 to 100 days in gestation. So why don't you want to do it? Well, it still costs more, in my opinion. Now, I think probably if one of the guys from Transova was here, they may dispute that, but at least what the calculations my clients have done, it costs more. I'm still telling people we need to transfer them fresh. We're right on the cusp of getting around that, though. And so 6 months from now, I may not say that, but I'm still telling my clients to transfer them fresh. You're going to run lower conception rates on IVF, fresh or frozen. You know, we expect to run about 10 percentage points lower, maybe 15 percentage points lower on fresh IVFs. And you have higher pregnancy wastage. And that there's no doubt there. And I think there's no doubt on probably a lot of the things we do. I think as we do more gamete manipulation, whether it's sorting semen, embryo transfer, splitting embryos, sorting semen for IVF and on, I think it's the more layers you put on top of that, freezing embryos, the more layers you put on top of that, the more pregnancy wastage you'll eventually see. And we still haven't, well, for my clients anyway, it's not a big problem. It's just part of the cost, but we still have that fetal anomaly in problem. And it can be logistical problems. So let's look at the logistics just a little bit. And this was a project I was involved with down in Georgia. They had a dozen donors out in Sioux Center at Transova. And every other Thursday for not quite a year, but most of a year, I went down there to transfer fresh IVF embryos in. And they would send me every other Thursday anywhere from 40 to 80. So Thursday was our transfer day. So the donors were out there. On Wednesday, they would aspirate them, mature those oocytes for a day, do the IVF, and then culture them. Wednesday afternoon, on a plane from Sioux Center, and then Thursday, they would show up below Atlanta. And the unbelievable thing is we had something on 15 or 18 shipments. Not a single one came in after 9 a.m. Everyone was there before 9 a.m., which to me is almost as magical and miraculous as IVF. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. Unreal. And then we would get them out, regrade them, and we did time transfers on these. No heat detection. So what did we get? And I'm going to show you this data not to pat myself on the back, but just to let you know it works. They shipped us 854 and recovered 854. Now you got robots handling these incubators, and you got FedEx drivers driving around bumpy roads and planes and this and that, and they sit halfway across the country and load 854, and we get 854. And this doesn't speak to me or my technician, who has better skills than I do anyway, ability, but it really speaks to their system and how well it works. And this was sort of a crappy system then. It's actually a lot better now. These were all under oil, which gets to be a problem, you can imagine, as those shipments shake around. The ones now aren't. Makes it a little easier. We transferred 785 of those. So we kicked out about 8% because they were degenerate, or because the conception rates on those threes got so crappy that the owner started making us throw them away. And this is what we got. And just to sort of, we had a nice grade effect, by the way, which is kind of cool. But notice we only transferred 27 of those. And the reason is because after we ultrasounded these and found out what our preg rate was, they didn't want to do it anymore. But anyway, put in 785, got 450 some pregnancies for a nice 57% conception rate, which is, this was part of their pilot program. This was 3 years ago or so. And this was part of Transova's pilot program on their ship to farm program. So it worked. And it's available for anyone in this room that wants to do it. You don't have to buy recips. So you don't have that expense. You don't have biosecurity issues because you're using recips at home. So there's some reasons to do this and do it this way. But 13% of these were preg checked or ultrasounded about. They weren't all done exactly at the same time, but 60 to 65 days. And we lost 13% of these pregnancies. Of the ones we followed through, some of these are partnership cows, so we didn't get to follow every single one through to parturition, but we did lose 13% of those, which, you know, is two or three times higher than we anticipate with ET. So why do we even want to do it? Well, everybody probably knows why, but I'm just going to state them. Hopefully because we're going to improve genetics, and we can use a combination of embryo transfer and AI, and we can argue on which one gives you the bigger bang for the buck. But I think you need to think about that a little bit. You need to do embryo transfer for a good reason, and you want to make sure that you're allocating resources correctly. That's not my call. I just collect them if you guys want to. Herd expansion, that's a really good way to use it. You've got a situation where you've got so many purebred cows and you'd just like to get bigger and you'd like to do it faster. Well, you can go out and buy those cows. You can buy frozen embryos. You can do it a lot of ways. But if you've got the kind of cattle you want, you can simply go in there and pick your donors and really do it cheaper at home than you can buying them. Probably the second best way is to buy frozen embryos. And then the third way would be to go buy donors, but you know that's fraught with some risk also. And then the biggest reason most of my guys are doing it, they're probably all equal, but this is one of the biggest reasons, is you've got a donor, she's hot, and you want to be able to recoup your investment or sell animals out of those while she is hot, because this day and time a lot of them don't stay there. So what's it cost? And these are Tom's fees, and I'm a little bit cheaper. So, just kidding. I don't know where these came from. I just made them up. They're sort of industry fees, I guess. And there's generally some economy of scale there, so that most people's fee schedule will, you know, give you a discount for volume. So if you just do one donor at a time, and you got about $300 in your collection, and around $100 in your semen, depending on what it costs and how many units, and we freeze 7 of them at $50 a piece, and you got about $100 and $110 in them. You still got to get them in your, recip, and you don't have costs like labor and donor and maintenance and overhead and all those kinds of things, but that gives you some idea what it costs to produce an embryo on your farm, one donor at a time. Now, if she makes one, it costs you about $450 for that one embryo, and you're going to have some expense if she makes zero. The flip side of that, if she makes 20, maybe it only costs you $70. So that's the budgeting issue. If we do 5, generally speaking, most everybody's fee schedule is going to reflect a little bit lower collection fee by the time we average it. Same way with the freezing fee, and you'll end up with about $80 in those in the tank. There again, doesn't include your labor, overhead, donor costs, and so forth. But if someone asks me what's it going to cost me, I generally tell them if you'll do 5 or 6 donors at a time, you know, we can probably put them in there for about that price. But in general, somewhere between about $75 to $125 an embryo, something like that.